Sports Central.
That is one of the best tries you will ever see in a test match.
Rugby Union.
Well, like many, I did get up in the early hours of this morning to take a look at the Wallabies. Wasn't a great start, a resurgence in the second half. They appeared to have some great momentum, and then, well, the All Blacks just put the icing on the cake late in the game. Stephen Hoyles from Fox Sports joins us to look back overnight. Stephen, good afternoon.
How are you going over there?
Going particularly well, mate. I mean, New Zealand certainly have been the best side. They were the favourites going in. Gee, I thought Australia, though, Stephen, showed plenty, and as they have done right throughout this World Cup. But in the end, when you've got the likes of Dan Carter, you've got Sonny Bill Williams, Richie McGaugh, the captain, I mean, this is always going to be a tough team to break down.
Well, without doubt, and I think our biggest mistake was the fact that we let them get off to the start that they did. That try just before halftime really hurt us. They went into halftime 16-3. That's a pretty tough lead, and against the best side in, you know, possibly the best test side in the history of rugby. Not too many teams are going to chase down that, are they, from halfway?
When we got within four in that second half, what were you thinking at that stage, Steve? Did you think we had some real genuine momentum that we could roll over the top of the All Blacks?
Yeah, I certainly did. As soon as Taveti Kouandrani scored that try after David Pocock, so we got two tries when Ben Smith was in the bin for 10 minutes from a spear tackle. I thought, you know, that was a huge momentum shift. But knowing the All Blacks, they were down to 14 men, they were going to get Ben Smith back at a certain stage, and they're just such a calm and composed side. They've really learnt from their failings in 2007. And I think you look at Dan Carter under pressure, he snaps that field goal from about 40 metres out. That was a huge moment from one of the all-time greats. So I always thought we could win. I knew we'd fight back and we'd show a lot of character, but just as it turned out, you know, a few calls went against us in the first half, which didn't help. But, yeah, that's certainly not an excuse, because you're outplayed by the best team in the world.
Stephen, give us a rating. I mean, Michael Checker from the outside seems to have done an amazing job to get the Wallabies back on track after a lean few years. We were just around the mark. He seems to have a magical touch. He had it at the Waratahs. He steps up and takes on the Wallabies job. I think everyone can relate to Michael Checker. He seems like a guy you'd want to play for, pretty tactically astute. We seem to have taken some significant steps to get some real respect back by getting back into a World Cup final.
Without doubt, that's his greatest asset. Is the, you know, he came to the Waratahs and he made the players there understand that we weren't just playing for a team at Moore Park or Paddington. We were representing a big state, and he's gone to the Wallabies, and he's educated the players on the fact that they are representing a country, and the country base itself off certain types of tendencies, and one is to never give up, and, you know, to continue fighting and show character, and that's what the Wallabies are doing. So I think everyone's firmly on side, and they do respect the Wallabies. Again, I think there was a few years there where people didn't really have that much interest in the national side. So he's done an amazing job, and a lot of these players are still in the, you know, the mid to early part of their career. So there's plenty of good footy to look forward to between, you know, now and the next 5 years with Michael Checker in charge, and the likes of Michael Hooper and Bernard Foley and Nick Phipps and these type of players coming through the game.
Some people have described it as the best World Cup ever. Do you subscribe to that?
I do, to be honest. I think the fact that we've had so many second-tier nations doing really well, you've got, you know, Japan is an obvious one, but Georgia, all these sides, they started to compete. You know, Argentina, like, they went all the way through to the World Cup semi-finals, and it just showed the dominance of the Southern Hemisphere rugby, which I always think a good game of rugby has got a lot of running rugby in it, and that's what Southern Hemisphere teams do. So the Northern Hemisphere sides, and traditionally the Northern Hemisphere nations run world rugby, so that's always an issue trying to get the laws to suit Southern Hemisphere teams. But at the moment, we're miles ahead of the teams up north, and it's been good to see that the teams that want to play rugby and throw the ball around and keep a fast, active, energetic style of footy, they've been rewarded. So it's up to the Northern Hemisphere teams now, like the English, the Irish, Wales. Wales were strong, actually. Shouldn't really throw them in that category. But England and Ireland were disappointing. So you've got to look at those teams and say, you've got to catch up.
Stephen, I imagine for a country like New Zealand, where there's just always enormous pressure because of their huge rugby background, won in 1987, and that long drought broke through on home soil in 2011. It seems like when you watch the All Blacks in these really big tournaments, that it comes down to a bit of relief in the end that they actually, you know, achieve the expectations that are always massive on their performances from tournament to tournament.
Yeah, it was bizarre seeing the difference in 2011 celebrations when the full-time whistle went to last night. They weren't completely overawed. They're actually probably more excited when they got through to the final against South Africa, probably because of the context of the game. They knew with 5 minutes to go that the game was won. But, yeah, the expectations on the All Blacks is to win, and it must be so hard for a team to be in every single game they take the field to be favourites. There's not too many teams in world sport that have that tag with them every time they take the field. So they're remarkably well balanced, and I think you've got to look to the likes of McCaw and Carter and, Kevin Mealam, who played his last game for the All Blacks last night. These guys are out and out All Black greats, and they do deserve to be back-to-back world champions because they've been fantastic for the last 7.5 years.
When you look at those retirees, just before I let you go, I mean, Dan Carter's obviously always had huge reps on him. Where do you sort of, put him in the pecking order of, great players of the game?
Well, in my generation, he's by far the best 5'8" that I've seen that I can remember. Like, I was a kid when I saw Mark Eller play, so I don't recall that. Don't recall that well enough to. But in my time in the game, I think that the only two out and out first pick of all time greats would be McCaw and Dan Carter. And it's nice to see, as much as obviously we wanted the Wallabies to win, they've been really good ambassadors for the game too. They've been in the game for a long period of time. They do a lot of good things away from the game. And it's been nice to see Dan Carter. He gets to finish his career as a World Cup champion. He didn't get to play in 2011 because of the injury. So as much as it pains me to say it, it's always nice to see the good guys at times get what they deserve.
No doubt. Good to talk to you, Stephen. Really appreciate you coming on to wrap up what has been a great Rugby World Cup.
No worries. Thanks for having me.